Good morning, friends. Welcome to the Daily Grind podcast. My name is Nathan French and I will be your host. Today we are talking all about feeling self-conscious, specifically as an obese person trying to exercise, going to the gym, going outside, getting out there in the public, and how I deal with that feeling. To follow the entire journey, head on over to facebook.com/thedailygrindif for all the daily videos. Let's get into it. I chose the topic of being self-conscious for a few reasons today. I have recently started working in gym time into my exercising. So I go on my walks. I've been doing my walks for over 50 days now. And I wanted to step up my game and just challenge myself more, learn some more skills, and add a little variety into the mix. Man, it just made me so aware of the fact that I was obese when I went into the gym for the first time. I guess that in my mind, I see myself a certain way when I exercise, right? I think everybody does that to a certain point. And for me, after walking for 50 plus days, I feel like I've got the hang of it. And I feel that I can perform very well when I'm out there, when I'm healthy, when I'm not fighting an injury. I've had enough time doing it, hours and hours, that I think I have pretty good form and I think I look pretty good doing it at this point. And when I go into a gym, I don't have that at all. It is such a new thing for me. I've been into about every gym in our local city and I've just never liked it. The one that I'm choosing to go to is actually at a hospital. So it's much more of a, I don't know, the environment just feels more beneficial to an obese person such as myself. It's a little bit more friendly and understanding. This is all in my head, right? I have no evidence for this at all. But when I go into any other gym in the past, you know, it's been really tiny little fitness girls doing their spin classes and a bunch of meatheads lifting iron. Okay. When you're obese, man, that is incredibly intimidating. It's just almost unbearable, and I just never stuck with it more than even a couple times. So I didn't really give it a fair shake. So this time around, I'm determined to get some progress in a gym, dive into that world so that I'm more comfortable, and it really brings all of my self-conscious things to the surface doing that. All the little things about my body that I'm aware of, I just, in my mind, I feel like they are just right out in front for the entire world to see. And it's kind of a miserable feeling. I know that people get self-conscious about many different things. I think this happens to everybody to a certain extent. I've never met anybody that had no flaws that they could find with themselves. Said, you know, I'm not self-conscious about anything. I don't think that's even possible. I know we're our own worst critics. Maybe you're self-conscious because you have strange shaped teeth, or, you know, your teeth aren't great, or maybe you have a weird birthmark on your face. Maybe you have a mole, maybe you have a cleft lip, like whatever it is. You know, I can't speak to a lot of those things. I have my own things too. I wish I had better teeth and all these other things, better hair, have a receding hairline and all that kind of stuff. But in this episode, I just want to focus on feeling self-conscious while exercising as an obese person, right? I'm not going to speak to anything else. I think that it's important that I go into this topic as well, because it's something that I'm currently struggling with. This isn't a reflection on the past and, oh, this is how I overcame being self-conscious. It's not like that. I am literally going through this every single day. So I feel like I have a pretty good platform to speak from when it comes to feeling self-conscious. There's a few things that I try to tell myself when I have these feelings creep up. I think of a bird, like a songbird, right? They fly into your yard and they just start singing. So if you really think about that, if you were to go into somebody's yard and just start singing, You know, you'd feel like an idiot, first of all. Second of all, they'd be mad. And it would just be a strange situation. But birds could care less. And most people could care less that they're even there. You know, they're just doing bird stuff. They're just doing their thing. They could care less about how everybody else around them perceives them, right? And that's how I try to be like when I'm exercising. I try to just shut the entire world off. And I say try, not succeed. It's something that I constantly fight. But that's what I try to put my mindset at. And you feel like the entire world is watching you when you pass a person, right? If there's nobody else on the track when I'm out on a walk, man, I feel great. I'm just cruising right along, not a care in the world. But as soon as somebody, especially a fit person, comes running by me or walking by me, immediately that anxiety just jumps up into my throat. And I try to, you know, suck the stomach in, puff out the chest, and pretend that I know what I'm doing. So that I can look better in their eyes. And how ridiculous is that? That we're worried about looking better in somebody else's eyes and not focused on our goal. You know, how wonderful would that be to be like that bird and just not have a single care in the world while we're exercising? You know, and maybe some people are like that. I'm sure some people just want to go out there and show off, but, you know, I'm not there at this point. But I try to be completely detached when I go out there from whether it's other people being critical of me or maybe it's people out there giving me praise. I try to be detached from both when I'm exercising. So if it's somebody saying, hey, you're doing a great job, I try to take that to heart as much as somebody saying, hey, you suck at this, you know, which, by the way, nobody has. But I just try to stay completely in the middle and not get excited or discouraged from either thing. A big thing that I also try to tell myself is that it's better to feel self-conscious temporarily, so during your exercises or workouts, than it is for the rest of your life. And I know how disheartening it can be when you go into a restaurant and they sit you down in a booth, and it's one of those tables that's bolted to the ground where you can't move it, and you can't sit there comfortably and even breathe because your stomach's so big. I know what that feels like. You know, I'm 6'5". I have a hard enough time as it is, just being tall, not to mention having a huge waist and huge chest and huge stomach. You know, it's incredibly embarrassing, and that's probably, you know, I've had enough of those experiences. That's probably why it's such a really touchy subject for me to even talk about. I've talked about this before, but my first experience when I was truly ashamed of the way I looked was when I was on a business trip home from Las Vegas. So we were getting on the plane and we go to the back and it was me and my wife. And I tried to get the seatbelt around me. And this is a fairly small plane. We had a pretty short distance to travel. Trying to put the seatbelt on and it wasn't even close. It had a good 6 inches to even go to the buckle. And so I, you know, try to get the flight attendant's attention and say, hey, you know, this doesn't fit. And so she just yells to another flight attendant, you know, hey, we need an extender over here. And everybody turns around and looks at me and I just wanted to crawl in a hole and hide, right? I just wanted to die at that moment. Just so embarrassed. And it was the first time in my life that I was truly ashamed of the way that my body looked and what I let myself get to. Before that, there was little moments of self-conscious like, oh man, this shirt's a little tight or this suit's too tight, can't wear that anymore, but it never really resonated with me until I was in a public place. And the funny thing is, in that same business trip, I was talking in front of people. I was meeting hundreds of people at this conference, and I had no problem. Like, when I was in the zone of work, I didn't even think about this stuff. So I just kind of swept it under the rug and pretended that it wasn't an issue, but it clearly was. And I don't want to feel like that for the rest of my life. I don't want to be out of breath when I get into a car, out of the car, or walk around the mall, or when I go into a restaurant and have people just look at me like, what in the world are they doing even thinking about eating? You know, that's how I think people view me. The reality is, I think, this is another theory, but I think people could not care less, honestly. So when you're in there exercising, you're passing them on the track or lifting weights, whatever it is, and you're just sweating your guts out and breathing hard and you feel like you're going to hack up a lung, I bet they don't even care. When people are around me and they're doing it, I think that's fantastic. I don't tell them so. But in my mind, I'm like, hey, good for them. When I see a 500-pound person walking around, I think, good job, man. You're trying here. But when it comes to me getting out and doing things, I guess it's just in my head, it's ingrained that they're going to be just negative thoughts towards me. And it's just a constant struggle. And like I mentioned, it does tie in with anxiety that I talked about in episode number one. So here's a couple other things that I have done to deal with this. When I started going on my walks, a thought that hit me the night before I even started walking was, oh my gosh, what do I wear? You know, what can I possibly wear so that I can look thinner than I actually am? And it's something, and it really freaked me out. So I find the largest sweater I have and a pair of shorts and I head out and I just sweat to death and it was miserable. So what I started doing was going really early and trying to beat everybody out there. And it just kind of became not feasible as far as schedule wise going out that early. It was dark. It was not good. So I got to the point after a couple of weeks where I was fairly comfortable with my walking. I was just getting past that really bad first wave of soreness. About 3 or 4 weeks, I think 3 weeks in, I actually wore a t-shirt, and I made a video about it because it was a pretty big deal to me at the time that it was really hot and I just didn't, I mean, it's the middle of summer. So I didn't want to wear a sweater that day, and I wore a t-shirt, and people, they didn't care. They didn't notice any difference. Even the people I say hi to every morning, they didn't seem to, nobody said, hey, you're wearing a t-shirt. That's crazy. You know, they don't care, man. It's all in our heads, but that doesn't mean it's any less real. It's still an issue. So fast forward today, you know, past day 50, and I start going to the gym, and it's that same thing all over again. It's actually a little more complicated this time, because you know other people are going to be there. This gym, for example, is only open from 7 in the morning to 7 at night. So it's guaranteed there is going to be people there. People are going to see me, and I can't afford to build a home gym. Okay, so this is a bridge that I have to cross no matter what. And so I had this struggle that, you know, what do I wear to the gym? And I've seen what other people wear to the gym, and there's no way that's going to happen with me, at least to for quite a few pounds. So I'm not gonna be able to blend in. I'm not gonna be able to look normal. I have very few t-shirts that even fit me or that I'd be comfortable wearing without a sweater over top of it. So that's exactly what I did. I wore a big baggy sweater. I put my hood up, I put my headphones on, and I just did my thing. I'm sure I looked a little funny doing that. It was incredibly warm and I was sweating like crazy. You know, but people probably didn't think nearly that was so weird as I probably perceived they did. They probably could care less, just like when I started walking. But it's just kind of interesting how our minds work. We try to go out and do something, but at the same time, we want to be invisible. When I first started walking, I knew I wasn't good at it. I knew I was limping around. I knew I was walking slow while everybody else is running out there. Well, not everybody, but in my mind, you know, stick with me here. Everybody else is doing their thing and looking great doing it. And for me, I couldn't walk far enough to the edge, you know, of the path. Like I just crept along the outside and hoped that nobody would even see me. And it's so ridiculous, but after doing it for a while, man, I was walking right down the middle and feeling great and saying hi to people. And it just took experience. It just took practice. I know because of that with the gym, I can get to that point as well. But it's probably going to take some time, especially with this. The whole concept is new to me of gyms. I have walked for a great majority of my life, right? Maybe not for exercise, but you know, you walk. And so it's much easier for me to go walk. And that's why I recommend that everybody, if possible, just go start with that, build that confidence, and then take on something new, like I'm trying to right now. But yeah, the gym is somewhere where I feel incredibly self-conscious, and it is such a hard pill to swallow at this point. But as I've proved with the first 30 days of my walking, that you just have to build that habit. It took me about 20 days to build my habit. And that's another funny thing. Like, despite how self-conscious I am and how bad my anxiety is for going to the gym, I want to do it. I want to push myself. I want to keep going. I'm not looking for excuses anymore. My old self, pre this experiment, this project, would be like, going to the gym, feel awkward, I'm gone. Go on a walk, feel awkward, I'm gone. But at this point, this is exactly what I'm looking for. I'm looking for another challenge because I know for the first time in my life that I can beat this thing, that I can take it head on and come out with a positive result, feeling self-conscious or not. You know, you just gotta focus on that long goal. It's better to feel self-conscious temporarily in the moment right now than it will for the rest of your life. And I just have to keep telling myself that over and over and over until I really understand it. I mean, it's a great mantra. It sounds great, but living it is a completely different thing. And it's just going to take a lot of practice, a lot of sucking it up, and sticking with the plan. Because I don't know, you know, I've been going down the rabbit hole. I'm about to start working some nutrition into my lifestyle as well. I'll save that for another podcast. But I've been going down the rabbit hole online, and there's so many people out there. They're like, oh, it's better to be happy and fat than miserable and skinny. There's so much crap out there where people are just looking for excuses to look the way they do. And that's what I've done for a long time. And I honestly, in my heart of hearts, when I sit down and really think about it, there's no possible way, no matter what they say, that they are happy with being obese. And the funny thing is, these aren't small people that are saying this. They aren't just a little bit overweight. They're me or heavier. I don't see that being possible. I know everybody has their own things, but for me, I can't imagine being this way for the rest of my life. And you know, when you look in a mirror, I mean, you have to look at yourself all the time, but I tried to avoid it. And I tried to just pretend that I was, you know, still in high school shape, which I still wasn't in very good shape, reflectively, but compared to now, man, what I wouldn't give for that. And that's what I'd like to get back down to. I look in the mirror now, and yeah, I don't like what I see. I don't notice my gains. I have people tell me all the time, hey, you're looking good and you're looking so much better, da da da. But I can't accept that yet. I don't see that yet. That's not what when I think about how I want to look in my head, I'm not even close yet. The journey is still young. It's only 50 days. And so that's why I mentioned being detached from praise and critique. So I can't say, oh, great, I'm looking better. People are starting to notice. I can put on the brakes. I can take it easy and coast for a while. There's no way that we can do that. You know, I'm still self-conscious. And another theory that I have is being self-conscious to a certain point is healthy. We feel that way for a reason, guys. The best thing to do is just take that feeling of being self-conscious and flip it around, turn it into motivation, and use that as fuel for the journey. And that's what I'm trying to do. When I go out into public of any capacity, I feel self-conscious. Just finding something that I'm comfortable wearing out there, whether it's a giant sweater, you know, or whatever, a t-shirt, it's a whole 7-game series all in it on its in itself. I'm never comfortable with it and how I look. I want the takeaway for this episode to be the mantra that I said before. It's better to feel self-conscious temporarily than for the rest of your life. I'm trying to live that principle. I'm trying to help other people with it. I am certainly not for any position to give advice. I can just tell you what I know, what I'm feeling, because I'm going through this right now. This isn't something I've done in the past. This isn't something I'm going to do in the future. This is right now. This is currently happening. This is a diary, basically. So that's it for this week, guys. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Go ahead and give me some feedback. I'd like to hear what you like, what you dislike, and we'll see you next week.